For years, Russian fossil fuels have been a main energy source for much of Europe. On an average day, the EU buys in as much as $1 billion worth of coal, gas, and oil. But Moscow is now insisting customers from what it calls hostile states pay for their gas in rubles, and have switched off supply to the Bulgarians and Poles for failing to do so, forcing the EU into an emergency meeting on energy security.
Many European energy companies are due to make their next payment to Gazprom in mid-May and are trying to understand better what they should do. And we need to give them the clarity that paying in rubles through the conversion mechanism managed by the Russian public authorities and a second dedicated account in Gazprom Bank is a violation of the sanctions and cannot be accepted.
In essence, this meeting deferred lasting solutions, leaving that option instead for a full EU summit at the head of state level at the end of the month. The sticking point has been how to help member states who are most dependent on Russian energy.
So what they want to know, who's going to take care of them? And is there solidarity in the European Union? It's one thing you have solidarity when everybody's storage is full. Will there be solidarity when storage isn't full? And that's Germany, for example, has the biggest storage after Ukraine. We know the problem in Ukraine. They should step up and say, we're going to share with you what we can.
The European Commission has already said it wants to reduce its dependence on Russian energy by two-thirds this year. But the German government wants to act sooner where possible, agreeing to embargo Russian coal from August and wanting to stop using its oil by the end of the summer, with gas to follow as quickly as possible, which means uncertainty for refineries such as Schwedt in eastern Germany. Each year it processes more than 11 million tons of Russian crude oil. It's currently majority owned by the Moscow-based company Rosneft. In some ways, Berlin's changing approach to Russian fossil fuels has been a process, not an event. When the war started, ministers avoided encouraging embargoes. But as the conflict in Ukraine has evolved, so too has their position here. Dominic Kane, Al Jazeera, in the German capital.